Yo, what is up, chumps? Welcome back to the Fantasy Chumps podcast. I'm in a great mood. 2-0. Shout out to Chase if you're listening. It was a tight one, but we are back. Week two of the season is done. Chiefs got in the win column, and the Lions are back to mediocrity, apparently. There's no reason I'm bringing that up, but joining me is the other blondie. Nate, how are you doing?
Pretty good. Can't complain too much. I got a win finally in our league of record, but overall, this was a very tough week for me. I think I went winless in all dynasty leagues I was in and probably went about 3-3 in my redraft leagues. For those of you out there, I am in 14 leagues this year, so it's been a lot to keep track of. Honestly, I made some very bad decisions in my dynasty leagues on who to start and sit for this week. So those are always kind of the last ones that I check. And if there's any, like, you know, game time players that are listed out, sometimes I don't catch those. So unfortunate, but it's always a long-term game with the dynasty leagues. But overall, doing very well this week. Just also wrapped up a basketball game. Ooh. Got a dub in that. We're 3-2 now in our rec league, so
let's go.
We're tracking for the playoffs.
That's awesome. Well, as you notice, John is not here again this week. He's okay. He's living up his childhood fantasies in Disneyland or Disney World, excuse me, this week. Mm. So, yeah. Hopefully he's doing as good in fantasy football as he is in his fantasy world in Disney World. So we actually have a guest today, longtime fan. I would say our first listener. I can't confirm that, but I'm just going to say it anyway. Our first listener, Jash, how are you doing? Welcome to the podcast.
Good, guys. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. Longtime listener, as you said, love the podcast. Y'all give great advice, so.
Well, we try to, and then we have John out here saying Najee's going to be a top five running back. So
yeah, maybe we'll not that one, but you know that's why he's gone this week. So,
well, Jash, you're actually in the Vampire League with us, right?
I am. I am in the Vampire League. Yeah, how'd that feel, Nate, this week?
Yeah, I guess if we want to give updates on leagues that I lost in this week, I lost in Vampire, and I lost to the Vampire. So, Layton, I think you were on the phone when I was talking to Jash about this, but I woke up this morning and was kind of going about my morning routine, then got the sleeper alert that the commissioner had adjusted rosters using commissioner power. And I was like, oh, that's crazy. I'm going to go take a look at what this all about. Saw that John had removed Ja'Marr Chase from someone's roster. Didn't know it was mine. And I was like, oh, dang. I was like, that sucks to lose Ja'Marr. Like, can't believe the Vampire won. And I was like, oh, wait, that was my team. I lost Ja'Marr Chase. I'm getting Romeo Dubs, which honestly was a great trade.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I will for sure take Romeo Dubs.
Yeah.
He could have given me anything else. He could have given me Rob Gronkowski if he wanted to. But so Chase is a real one for that.
Dude, hit me those jobs, dude.
Hey, worked out well.
We should all be scared right now of the Vampire because he took his first bite.
No, we're done. We're so done.
Layton, how do you feel about your chances?
I don't have any chances. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to lose Travis Kelce and we're going to be great. You know,
do you play him this week?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm sorry, buddy. I'm really sorry.
It's not going to go well.
Hopefully Ja'Marr has another down week, but I've got to say, the 12-man Vampire Leagues are tough.
Dude, that's hard. That's too
your
hard.
Your rosters, yeah. But Jash is over there sitting pretty. Nice 2-0.
That was high score this week. I don't know. It seems pretty easy.
I guess it's not that hard, is it?
Well, it's just because you're a loyal listener to the chumps.
Right,
and
right, of course.
You got a good draft position as opposed to me. Yeah. But so, Jash, just real quick, kind of introduce yourself. Maybe, obviously, tell who you're a fan of.
Yeah.
If people don't know, I mean,
I'm sure they
my
do.
My intro gave it away.
Yeah.
And then, real quick, tell us your favorite fantasy football memory or story that you have?
Oh, boy.
Keep it brief because I don't want it to bring pain to somebody like me beating Chase this week. I would hate to keep bringing that up, for example.
Absolutely. So I'm a big-time Lions fan. I have been for the last 20 years, unfortunately. You know, thought it was our year this year. Not looking great. But favorite fantasy memory was probably last year in my main league. I went 15-1 and won the league, so that felt pretty good.
Ooh,
that's spicy. Yeah. Who were the MVPs on that team?
Oh, Justin Jefferson for sure. I had Patty. Saquon dropped to me in the fourth round in that league last year. Yeah, it was.
I want to join that league.
Yeah, we have a Giants fan in that league, and he was talking everybody off of him, and then he didn't draft him. So,
oh, good.
Yeah,
good. Well, we're going to get to week two. The 15-1, that's pretty good. Anyway, we're going to get to week two. We'll start with the negative and then kind of react more to it. And then we'll end with some players to pick up for this upcoming week. We didn't choose the – I'll just save that. I'll save it for later. So basically, I honestly hate this part of the podcast. I just feel like I'm being – really down. Yeah, I mean,
bring in the rain cloud.
Hey, you gotta. Hey, you start with the bad news and bring in the good news to end it. That's how it goes.
Dude, this is a lengthy list of bad news, so I'm gonna try to go through this quick.
You know what? With all the bad news too, there's opportunity. That's why we got to talk about it. Is you gotta hear what players are hurt, so you can capitalize on it. But
that's true.
Why don't you start us off?
All right, so Nick Chubb hurt his knee. Hopefully you didn't see it. If you did not see it, don't go look it up. He's out for the year. Don't know what he tore. I think the better question is what he didn't tear in that knee. It looked brutal. Feel really bad for him because he's having a good start of the season, and he was basically the Browns' offense. So instead of giving him a contract, they gave Deshaun Watson a fully guaranteed contract. So we won't talk about that today.
But that was the same knee that he blew up in college too. So that's not looking good for him.
So this is one of the ones I wanted to talk about. This is maybe more of a dynasty question, but is this the end of the elite Nick Chubb as we know it, Nate?
Gosh, how old is he now? Is he 27? Well into his 26th year of life.
No, he's definitely, yeah.
Yeah. I'll look it up. I mean, we always say, and it's hard to predict the cliff of players, but we kind of generally think that the running back cliff starts around 27 for most people.
He is 27.
But when you have two very gruesome injuries now to the same knee, I feel like that's going to be a really long recovery. And when he comes back, I can't imagine he doesn't lose a step or lose some of his burst or strength, or even just like trust on that knee to like cut and be the old Nick Chubb that we know. So I wouldn't count him out that his career is done, but I think, like you said, the Nick Chubb that we know is, I don't know if he'll ever return to that. Hope he does, but as far as dynasty goes, I don't think you can expect that, really.
Josh,
you thinking the same thing?
Yeah, I agree. Speaking from personal experience, it is very tough to come back from multiple knee injuries. So,
oh yeah, you're on your parents' bed again.
Yeah, I am. I'm dealing with my third ACL meniscus repair surgery that started back in high school football. So, I agree. If he does come back, which he might retire after that, I think if he does come back, it's not going to be the same at all.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate. So one last question. Because he's definitely one of the best running backs in the league, so it sucks to see him go out this way.
I know, I hate it. Quick question.
I didn't know.
For you,
I was sitting in the presence of a 3-time ACL survivor. That's incredible.
Dude, represent,
That's crazy.
Will you be ready before the start of the next season, though, or will you start maybe on the short-term IR?
I'm short-term IR for the beginning of next season. They're going back in January, so I got probably a 6 to 9 month recovery time. So right around that November, October, I'll be 100%.
Sounds good.
Watch out for Josh. Might be a sleeper pick.
All right, so we have a few concussions that are never fun. Jaylen Waddle, Davante Adams, Anthony Richardson, all three suffered concussions. Status for this upcoming week is up in the air, so be sure to have a backup for all those players. Anthony Richardson is probably most likely not to play. I was reading this before the podcast that apparently quarterbacks are more likely to sit out than skill player positions when it comes to running backs and receivers for some reason. So
it's a cerebral position.
Most likely, yeah. The other ones take no brain. The most likely out for next week. So speaking of somebody that could be out, Joe Burrow hurt his calf again, re-injured in this past loss because they're 0-2 to the Ravens. Can't believe they lost to a quarter or a running back quarterback, but that's okay. I don't think he plays this weekend. Do either of you think he plays? And if so, are you starting, you know, Jamar Chase or T. Higgins?
That's a good question. I mean, I think if you – first of all, I would attack it as if you had Joe Burrow and he does play this week, I think Joe Burrow is definitely a sit until you see some kind of, you know, positive performance from him. Like, he did okay last week. He put up kind of some garbage time numbers. I feel like that game ended up being a lot closer than it should have. It was not a great fantasy performance by any means, but I mean, he threw for about 220 yards, 2 touchdowns. As far as those other skill positions, I mean, you definitely, I don't think you can go into a week and bench Jamar Chase if you drafted him. Like, I think Jamar is an automatic start. I also I think T. Higgins. Yeah, should you should sit? Or?
I think you could. I mean, he hasn't been good with Joe Burrow. And Jake Browning's the backup, right?
That sounds right.
Jake Browning is the backup.
And I guess it depends on who you have on your team, but sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, that's probably true. It does depend on who you have on your team. Like, if you have a very strong wide receiver three, like if you had Mike Evans as your wide receiver three, I would maybe move him up into your wide receiver 1-2 and then hopefully take like a high upside flex position or something in replacement of Jamar.
Would you start?
I just don't see Jamar's ceiling being very high for this week.
Would you start somebody like D-Hop over him this week?
I think so. And yeah. Josh, you were kind of on this before we started recording. I do think this is kind of a week where you could see the Titans offense blow up. So like D-Hop specifically, I do like for this week. He's gotten a lot of targets, but I mean, I think that's a pretty good comp of other players that are kind of in that category. Even like a Mike Thomas that we were talking about.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You could slot him in, but yeah. Probably both those guys is kind of the thing. It would just depend on situation, who you've got. I mean, T. Higgins was the big – I mean, he hit last week. T. Higgins had 2 touchdowns, 28 points. So, but if I think if Burrow's not starting, I'm not really going to trust Jake Browning to get those guys enough targets or quality targets to really have a huge fantasy performance. But, Josh, do you have any comment on that?
I would be more apt to start T. Higgins over Jamar Chase if Joe Burrow doesn't play. I think, yeah, Jamar Chase is more of a deep threat vertical, and he has that chemistry with Joe Burrow, obviously, which I know you guys are just so torn up as Chiefs fans about Joe Burrow being out. But
look, I don't want him hurt, but when the Bengals lose, I'm not upset.
But yeah, I think T. Higgins is the better wide receiver anyways, and I think he's a more complete wide receiver. I think that he would be startable this week over Jamar Chase.
Interesting. Okay. Well, shockingly, we have a couple more big running back injuries. Saquon Barkley, ankle sprain, most likely out 3 weeks, but could come back. Not this week, but next week potentially. There's some rumblings of him maybe trying to.
I heard some positive news about him where it was like, which just baffled me that they were going to maybe not rule him out for this, because they have the Thursday night game too.
Yeah.
So it's like quick turnaround. They weren't ruling him out for it, which, I mean, I just think that's ridiculous.
I think that's more of a strategy thing on their part than anything.
Definitely. Yeah. Not coming to terms with the fact they have to start Matt Breida.
That's
but,
true.
Yeah. I mean, so, yeah, I think 2 weeks, it's sounding like, might be very possible, but yeah.
Yeah.
Which is good, though. I mean, that looked a lot worse at first than it's kind of turning out to be. He was not looking good when he came off the field after that play.
True. Austin Ekeler, no timetable for ankle injury.
That was surprising.
If you have Austin Ekeler on your fantasy team, how worried are you on a scale of 1 to 10? Josh.
The fact that they haven't put him on IR yet makes me think he's only going to be out for like maybe 2 more weeks. Because I feel like if it was serious, they would have already put him on IR as soon as possible. Like they would have gone ahead of it last week. So I think they're probably just playing it safe. It's a long season, so you want to keep your best players healthy. And I don't think they have, like, they have the Vikings this week, and then I don't know who they have next week, but it's not games where it's like you need Ekeler to be active. So I think it's smart for them to sit him and keep him fresh. I mean, he's what, 30 now, 29?
Yeah, 29.
Yeah, so just keeping him healthy and fresh for the season, I think, is their mindset going into that.
Okay. Well, I'm going to keep it with you here. We're going to call this the Lions segment. We have Amon-Ra and David Montgomery with a turf toe and thigh injury, respectively.
Yeah.
Why don't you just touch on those real quick with from a non-fan perspective so you don't start crying.
Yeah, no, I'm holding back tears right now. But, Amon-Ra, they haven't released anything official yet, but during the fourth quarter, he came out of the game. He was getting his toe taped up to all get out, and then he had steel put in his cleat as well. So it's not looking great right now. So it's looking like turf toe potentially, which that just lingers for the season. So hopefully it's something else. And then David Montgomery, they said, is a deep thigh bruise. So he said after the game it could take a couple of weeks. And then Dan Campbell came out and said it could be day to day. So it's just, I think, they're kind of waiting and seeing. I don't think he'll play this week. Because we're a quote-unquote player-led organization, so I don't think I think we're going to get him the rest that he needs as well.
So, I guess, Leighton, for those last four guys we just mentioned, Saquon, Ekeler, Amon-Ra, David Montgomery, who are the beneficiaries in those offenses from those injuries, I guess? I mean, I hate to, talk about – try to spin the injury into a positive, but I mean, obviously there's going to be a huge loss of these offenses that's going to have to go somewhere else. So for like Saquon, who do you think is the big beneficiary there?
I guess I would have said Josh Kelly for the Chargers, but they didn't really look very good on the ground against the Titans, but that is the Titans. All they do is practice running, but I don't know. It's kind of hard because with the Lions, I feel like they have guys that could step up after them, like Josh Reynolds in the receivers and Jahmyr Gibbs as a running back to kind of step in for both of those. So you would think their production would increase. Mm-hmm. Saquon, it's Matt Breida. I just think that whole offense takes a big downgrade when he's gone. So
I feel like Darren Waller might be the biggest beneficiary from him because Daniel Jones is going to need a safety valve. So he could be up for a lot of targets.
Hopefully he stays healthy. Did you have somebody in mind, Nate?
So I had a take on the Chargers at least, which you're going to love this, Leighton. I think the Chargers are one of those teams there where – Austin Ekeler being out of that offense, I think their run game turns into a quick pass offense. It's going to be – it's kind of like how the Chiefs use their running game. It's screen passes, quick RPO hits. I think you see Keenan Allen getting way more action. Mike Williams is kind of like the vertical threat on that team, but I still think you see him get utilized a lot. even like Joshua Palmer, if you like really need a flyer, like he might be somebody that could get you, you know, 12, 15 points this week. I feel like that one was kind of interesting when I was thinking about that. It helped a lot seeing a sample of Joshua Kelly because it did not look like he was very capable of doing much. Saquon, I didn't hear you, Josh. I don't know if you mentioned Waller on this one.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I think Waller is going to see even more target share than he's already getting. But, yeah, and then with the Lions, obviously, Jahmyr Gibbs, I think, is going to see an uptick in work, which Josh and I are both very excited about, big-time Jahmyr Gibbs holders. Oh, yeah. But, I mean, I think, yeah, something to touch on, just – players to keep your eye on. The thing with the Chargers is if you have Keenan, he's already been going off, so he's already kind of like an automatic start for most people. But yeah, I think Mike Williams is now, who used to be kind of a fringe flex player, I think you got to put him in this week though.
That's a great answer. I will admit, on my undefeated league of record team, I do have Keenan Allen, and what I did is because he's been playing so well, I moved him from the flex spot to the wide receiver spot.
Oh,
I think he's earned that.
Oh,
yeah.
Dang. Moving up in the world.
Yeah. I know. It's massive. So, a few other injuries. We have DK Metcalf with a rib injury. He'll probably play. Odell Beckham has an ankle injury. Most people, if they weren't Ravens fans, kind of forgot he was playing. But I think he will potentially play this week. If not, he'll only be out 1 week.
I think.
And then
Harbaugh came out and said that he's going to, that it's nothing serious and he's going to play this week.
Oh, goodness. There we go. Jamal Williams, hamstring injury, probably going to be out a couple weeks. And that's probably end of his season with Alvin Kamara coming back besides red zone work. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunate. The last one
is Taysom Hill RB1 now in New Orleans?
Kendre Miller should be because he'll probably play this week. But we'll see. You never know.
Trey Jones had a good showing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he had something. So the last guy I wanted to talk to is Brandon Ayuk, just because he had such a good week one. Shoulder injury limited him in week two, and they're on a short week, so I think he could miss this week. So I just wanted to bring that up to everybody that's listening. If you have Brandon Ayuk, definitely be on your lookout Thursday night. Have a contingency plan in place, or just bench him if you have a good guy on the bench. So
Mike Evans ready to slot in for him.
There we go. I love it. So moving on, we're going to react to some big week two performances. Some good, some bad. We're hopefully going to focus more on the good because that injury segment was a whole lot of bad. Nate, start off with, who do you want to talk about first? I'll just open the gate to you.
For week two big performances?
Yeah.
Honestly, I'll go down to the bottom of our list here. He's the last guy stuck on there. I almost forgot about him, but it was it's Brian Robinson, running back for the Commanders, who I think he slipped a lot in redrafts that I was a part of, at least. I don't have his ADP right now in front of me, but was going pretty late. It was not high, and he and Antonio Gibson were kind of getting drafted in about the same area, but Brian Robinson, after 2 weeks, is RB3 in PPR leagues. Only seeing 61% snap share week one, 52% week two. He put up 13.6 points in week one and then went for 29 last week. Had two rushing touchdowns against the Broncos on 18 attempts too. So he's been super efficient. I mean, just as this guy could kind of be a league winner, honestly, if you can get him at pick 100 and you've got a very solid RB2 on your hands right now, that's awesome. Probably a guy I'm trying to trade right now.
I was just going to ask you that.
I think this could be – I mean, I don't know, Josh, if you agree with me, but I feel like this is probably the ceiling of Brian Robinson right now. Kind of weird to me that they haven't used Antonio Gibson as much, but do you think this is a good opportunity to get a good, return for Brian Robinson, or would you hold on to him?
I honestly – I would probably hold on to him for the value of where you got him. If you can buy high or sell high on him, I absolutely would. Like, if you can go out and get, like, a I don't even know. Maybe like a Joe Mixon or something like that. You know, I might consider doing that. But, I mean, dude came back from being shot. Like, we all know who was going to, you know, do well. So
nothing can bring him down.
Exactly. This dude is a warrior.
I would probably agree with you, Nate, about selling high just because he only had 19 and 18 attempts in his 2 weeks. And he's only had 5 targets, which is probably more than I'd expect him to have, but I feel like he's not going to get a ton of work in that passing game, but clearly it hasn't really mattered so far, but
I would say
it depends on what you could get.
Yeah.
PPR, I kind of think that non-PPR and keep him for sure.
Oh yeah. Non-PPR.
I think the stars are kind of aligned right now for Brian Robinson, where it's like if you're trying to trade him, the person that's receiving him is going to see that he's running back 3 right now and just came off a 29-point week with 2 touchdowns. Like, I think that's about as good as it gets. He's coming in also to a really tough matchup with Buffalo. Josh Jacobs just rushed for -2 yards last week against Buffalo. Don't know how that's possible, but he managed to do it. He pulled it off. So
he just took me.
And then, yeah, the following week's against Philadelphia also. So I think that's going to be tough if you're trying to start in the next couple weeks. But I don't know. Like, I kind of like your flip on it, though, Jash, for non-PPR. I mean, somebody's just going to get quite a few opportunities on groundwork. It's good to have. Yeah. So
he's going
to
be the goal line back anyways there. So,
well, Jash, who is your big week 2 performer that you want to focus on?
Oh man, you know, I got to rep my boy Puka, dude. I have a 14 team league where everybody drafted. It's basically a vampire league, but without the vampire rules. And I picked him up before week 1, and I am so happy I did, because that man is the MVP of the team. Led me to a win against the number 1 team in the league so far. So yeah, that man is a beast. Target monster over there. 20 targets this week. It's insane.
It is insane. Okay, oh, I can't believe it.
I'm going to ask you the same question. Do you trade him?
I would. I don't think you can maintain that when Cooper Kupp comes back. Like, I feel like you have – like, I was thinking about shopping him around that league, seeing if I can get somebody who's maybe a number 1 for the rest of the year. I think he's probably going to still get, like, 8 to 10 targets maybe, because he's performing. He seems to do well. They really like him, so.
Yeah.
But I don't see that type of, you know, wide receiver Cooper Kupp production when Cooper Kupp obviously comes back, so.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. The reason I asked, and here, I'll even go to a little bit of a negative to kind of maybe offer somebody, because A.J. Brown has not had the greatest start to the season. Mm. And I was thinking, if you could offer Puka for whoever owns A.J. Brown, you might get some feedback there, because he's not getting a ton. He got some opportunity week 1, mm-hmm. 10 targets. But this past week, 4 catches for 29 yards. I mean,
yeah, that's actually not bad.
I would, if I was in a league where I didn't have A.J. Brown, I'd instantly go try to trade for him right now, mm-hmm. just because I think that it's only going to get better for him. He should have had at least a touchdown catch last week, but it's okay. So that's one guy I'm not worried about. But if you could get him now, he could really blow up, and I think the best is coming for him for sure.
Yeah.
But we already talked on Keenan Allen. Speaking of league winners, he might be the league winner this year.
Yeah.
Because you would get him in like the 4th or 5th round maybe. And 19 targets through 2 weeks with Justin Herbert is very good. Obviously, week 1, he had a solid game of 14 fantasy points, which you were like, oh, okay, you know, that's pretty good. He got 9 targets. I'm excited, you know. And then he had 2 touchdowns this week, over 100 yards. And then he got really excited. So I think it's obviously going good for Keenan Allen. And I guess these next guys, they're more of a – surprises to see at the top of the leaderboards, don't you think, Nate?
Definitely. I mean, I'll let whoever put Kyren Williams up there take their victory lap if you want. But was that you, Josh? Do you have a little Kyren Williams action?
I don't have him in any leagues, but I mean, that man,
I'm about to.
Yeah, he is. I mean, that production against that top defense, like the 49ers, I mean, it's only going to get easier from here. And he's obviously the number one back with Cam Akers, you know, and trade rumors now. Like, the production he's putting up, I mean, is insane. And the amount of touches he's getting as well. Like, that's, I mean, that man is a monster. He's involved in the passing game. He's involved at the goal line, too. I mean, he's everything you could want in a running back.
Yeah.
He had Kyren Williams had 95% snap share in week two. Jeez. That is unheard
That's
of.
That's insane.
And what's crazy is he even had 65% week one and still did mm-hmm. very well with 17 fantasy points. The thing that happened that I wasn't expecting in week two and why I wasn't so, I guess, gung-ho is because he scored 2 touchdowns week one. He had 10 targets against the 49ers.
Yep.
6 catches for 48 yards, a touchdown on the air and on the ground. He's crazy.
Yeah.
He was a 5th-round draft pick last year. Oh, from Kirkwood, Missouri, shout out. Oh. But I'm very impressed with him. Clearly, like Josh said, with Cam Akers seeming to go bye-bye, all they have on the roster is Zach Evans and Royce Freeman. Jeez. And if they have anybody else I haven't mentioned, I don't know who it would be. So – It'd be very interesting to see how the rest of the season goes. If he's still under waiver wire,
oh my gosh!
And you're in a fab system, I would drop 60 plus.
I would even go up to 70 or 80 for him. I mean, obviously, like
yeah,
they're like, you know, you always run the risk of somebody getting injured, but I mean that type of volume and production that he's putting out, you're not going to get that from anybody else on waivers, really.
Mm.
No, and which is good. And something else I think we weren't expecting is Raheem Mostert. The start he's had to this season has been incredible. You know, running back 6 on the year in PPR. He's just doing what he's always done. Been really good on the ground and scoring touchdowns and doesn't catch a single ball
nope.
to save his life, which is fine.
Doesn't need to.
He had 26 fantasy points this past week. 120 yards and 2 touchdowns against the Patriots. And the Patriots have a good defense.
Mm-hmm.
So is he matchup-proof, do we think? Or
yeah, I think he's matchup-proof. I don't know if he's injury-proof, but...
That's the...
whenever he's on the field, that he's always producing like a top 10, top 15 running back. Like, it's hard to argue at this point keeping him out of your lineup. I feel like he's just every time he's on the field, he's producing, you know, 60 to 80 plus yards a game, and then at least a touchdown. It feels like every single game. Like,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
yeah. I think wherever Raheem Mostert has been, it's never been. I mean, injuries have always been the concern with him, I think, but it seems like he's always been in like a committee system. That's how it was in San Francisco. Where it was never the concern of, like, could he be explosive? Could he be efficient? It was always, are his opportunities going to go to somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
I forget what the whole backfield was in San Francisco. I know they had Tevin Coleman, a couple
Wilson.
Other guys, too. Yep. You're right. But now in, like, it seems like he's clearly got the lead position in Miami. But it's Salvin Ahmed still hangs around. They've got the rookie A-chain that's kind of hasn't gotten integrated into the offense yet. But
yeah,
I feel like, yeah, by the end of the season or like midway point, I think you could see him getting worked in a little bit more. And I think if you're Miami, you have to just preserve a 31-year-old running back throughout the whole season. So
they also do have Jeff Wilson coming off of IR in a couple of weeks. So.
Can't wait. Gonna be a slog.
Yeah.
Yeah, great start for Raheem.
Nate, do you just want to keep going and talk about Nico Collins? You put him on this list.
Yeah, I'll throw up Nico Collins, wide receiver for the Texans. He is wide receiver 6 currently on the year. Benefited quite a bit last week from some garbage time play for the Texans. They were kind of getting just walloped by the Colts. That wasn't really a contest from the very beginning. But then I think it was soft coverages kind of let C.J. Stroud get into a rhythm. Nico Collins had 9 targets, 7 receptions for 146 yards and a touchdown. Ended up with, if you're rounding up, 28 points. So 2 very solid performances through the first couple weeks. If I'm a Nico Collins owner, I don't think you're really going to get that much interest in him right now. He has not been in the spotlight as much as like Puka has. I think Puka's kind of been one of the biggest storylines for this fantasy season so far. Nico Collins has been, for what he's done, very under the radar. So I don't think you're in a position right now to really sell high on him, because I don't think, even though he's wide receiver 6 and has been, you know, very solid, I don't think he's really – he doesn't hold much value right now, or at least nobody's going to give that to you. So I think he's somebody you kind of hang on to. In a matchup versus Jacksonville this week, I think you could definitely plug him into a flex if you need to. So I like Nico Collins. I hope he keeps it up because I have him in a couple leagues. But – I, in a dynasty, I wouldn't be opposed to anybody trying to go after him because he's only 24. That wide receiver room is kind of up for grabs. They've got a couple young guys with Tank Dell and John Mechie coming back. But I think Nico Collins is kind of trying to work his way into the clear-cut number one.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And I think, like kind of you said, he's gotten a lot of garbage time, but with the Texans, not to sound like that, not to be that guy, they're always kind of being garbage time, right? Mm-hmm.
That's going to go on all year, probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that can only go up. So now we're going to talk about the negative. We already touched on Ayuk, so we won't rehash that, but I wish John was here to talk about Najee. Who wants to talk about Najee?
I put Najee up there. I'm not in the business of trying to get on John's bad side, but I did want to talk about Najee. Coming off 2 identical 5.3 fantasy point performances through the first 2 weeks, has not looked good. He was not efficient last week. I mean, he did get 10 attempts, 43 yards on those. Was just kind of had really nowhere to go against the Browns offense. Had 2 big runs for, you know, 10, 15 plus yards, which kind of helped that stat line get there. They're really blown up plays for the most part that he was able to kind of avoid a tackle on and cut it to the other side. So I'm not really giving him a whole lot of credit for that. I feel like those are usually tackles for losses. My big takeaway on Najee right now, and I noticed this in the first week, I thought he looked really slow. And I don't know if Najee's ever been the quickest running back necessarily. And if you put him in the running back 2 in Pittsburgh, Jalen Warren, if you had them run a 40-yard dash next to each other, Jalen Warren's going to win that. He's just a quicker guy.
Easily.
But Najee, it does not seem to have much burst, really. And if you're drafting a guy like Najee as just a power back in the second round, I don't think that's I don't think that was the best draft pick to begin with. But I don't know with this Steelers offensive line situation if he's going to really come through that much this season. I don't think his ceiling's all that high to begin with. So he's going to be very touchdown dependent. I don't know. I don't really know how many. I don't know. I'm not very bullish on Najee for the rest of the year. So do you guys agree? Disagree?
It kind of feels like Dallas last year with Zeke and Tony Pollard. It seems like it's the same situation with Najee being Zeke and then Jalen Warren being Tony Pollard. Like that just feels like it's what it's setting up to go towards this season.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. And one thing apparently that I was reading is that he added muscle and weight. I'm not trying to say he was fat coming into the season, but he like added weight coming into this football season. And when I first saw that, like preparing for the draft, I was like, why? He's already huge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like a guy like him would want to get maybe a little bit quicker if he could. So clearly he did not do that, but I'm also out on Najee for the rest of the season and
forever.
Kind of like you said, yeah, probably forever, but it's, I feel bad because he was such a good player coming out of college.
Yeah.
But. So last guy we have on the bad, and we've also kind of touched on him with the Joe Burrow, is Ja'Marr Chase. So especially with, I'm not entirely blaming Ja'Marr. I'm just kind of, I just feel like there's a whole kind of like stank, you know, in regards to the Bengals so far to start the season. Joe Burrow got hurt, hasn't been 100%, it seems like, all season. T. Higgins might as well not have played week one. Week two, he obviously had a good game, but like Ja'Marr Chase has been just kind of there. And like with a player as special as Ja'Marr Chase, I don't think anybody ever anticipates that. Am I alone in thinking there's just kind of something off with Ja'Marr and we just kind of need to wait it out? Or how are you guys handling this?
He's such a deep threat. And I mean, if Joe can't toss it to him, like, I feel like he just becomes irrelevant. Like, they have him running like wide receiver bubble screens and like 5 yard outs right now. Like, that's not what he's good at. Like, he's a deep threat option. Like, you can't just pigeonhole him into a role that, you know, is not his forte and expect him to do great things. So I also think it's kind of on, you know, Zach Taylor for, you know, to play call him a little bit. Ja'Marr needs to, which he said after the game, you know, he said as much, you know, they need to start running me down the field a little bit more. So, I think once Joe gets healthy, he's going to be, you know, returned back to normal Ja'Marr Chase. But until then, it's kind of just like a, you know, iffy type of thing right now.
Yeah. I think the most shocking thing that I've noticed so far through these first two games is Jamar's depth or yards per target. So I guess depth of target on average through the first two games is about four yards per target.
4 yards?
Yeah.
4 yards per target. In the last game, he was 3.88 yards per target.
Oh my gosh.
So it seems like if I'm trying to make sense of this, I think that tells me a lot about Joe Burrow's health, honestly, is that they really don't want Joe Burrow to take many hits, so they're trying to get the ball out of his hands quick, which is not great for Ja'Marr, but they're trying to get him involved in the game, just like get the ball in your playmaker's hands and see what they can do. But defenses must be recognizing that and collapsing on it. So I think that he's in a tough spot right now where – you know, he wants the ball. He wants to make explosive plays down the field. And just the offense has not been really, I guess it's been kind of curated to protect Joe through these first two games. And it's kind of come to Ja'Marr's detriment. So, it's tough. I mean, this is tough for a lot of people. A lot of people took a flyer and drafted Ja'Marr number one overall this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, I definitely was getting in the camp where I thought Ja'Marr and Justin Jefferson were kind of 1A, 1B wide receivers. I thought they were pretty equivalent, but when you've got an unhealthy quarterback or one that's not on his A game, really, I mean, that can affect you really quick.
Yep.
Yeah. Don't know anybody that would have taken Ja'Marr Chase 101. He must be in Disney World or something. All right. Well, we're going to move up on we're going to kind of skim through this because we've been going a little long, but we just wanted to highlight some players to pick up. And we've already talked a lot about the studs this week. We're not going to talk about Jerome Ford or Kyren Williams or any of those big guys. These are kind of players that have still been good, but I feel like your average fantasy player will not really think about. So why don't we pass it over to the guest? Mr. Jack,
yeah,
start us off.
So I have Tank Dell as one of the players to pick up this week. We kind of already touched on it a little bit earlier, but yeah, with Nico, like, I feel like the Texans are going to be playing a lot of garbage time this year because I don't think they're going to be very good. But Tank had 4 targets week 1 and then 10 targets this last week against the Colts. And I don't know if y'all remember, but CJ went to the Texans front office after he was drafted and begged them to go and get Tank Dell. So he obviously loves Tank Dell, and they're both young. They both came into the league at the same time, both rookies. They can continue to develop that chemistry over the year. I think he's a sleeper pickup this week, getting, you know, early, and, you know, he's still producing. He had, you know, 7 catches for, I think it was 76 yards and a touchdown. Like, I mean, as a slot guy in PPR, you can't get much better than that.
Mm-hmm. Nate, go on.
I honestly love that pick. I was a week ahead of you. I grabbed him in a lot of leagues last week because I kind of thought the same thing. And so he's kind of, I think, a guy I'm just going to hold on to for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Could start this week, but especially against Jacksonville, I think. I mean, that line's set at like 10 points right now. So everybody's expecting that to be a blowout. There's probably going to be a lot of expected blowouts against Houston this year. Yeah. So, I mean, I think, yeah, garbage time for the slot receiver is, it's money. You like to see that.
Yeah.
But Layden, did you have anything on that?
No, I agree with everything.
So the guy that I wanted to touch on is going back to the Rams offense. It's actually Tutu Atwell. Has had a very good start to the season so far. Kind of quiet, but very solid. Wide receiver 16 right now. Week 1, he went for just under 18 points, and last week he went for 15, which was very impressive against San Francisco, I thought. Mm-hmm. In the San Francisco game, he had a 94% snap share and got 9 targets, which brings his total to 17 through the first couple weeks. What I kind of like about Tutu Atwell is obviously the snap share is very attractive right now. His depth of target has been much better than Puka's, I feel like, where I think Puka's kind of a compliment to the run game with the short passes. I mean, Matt Stafford loves his quick slants across the middle and whatnot. Puka's been much more of a kind of down the field threat. In his first game against Seattle, he was just under 15 yards per target. So Matt Stafford's kind of looking to him to take some of the deep shots. I kind of think that Puka's role survives once Kupp comes back. I don't think it really vanishes necessarily. I think a lot of those targets that we're seeing, I mean, obviously that go to Puka and Tutu Atwell are going to be directed or reallocated towards Cooper Kupp. But I think Tutu's kind of big play upside prevails going forward. But he's not expensive right now to get. I mean, if you buy into that theory and it doesn't pan out, it hasn't cost you anything. So he's kind of somebody that I would grab, hang on to. I would say that he's got a tough matchup this week against Cincinnati. Cincinnati's defense hasn't looked that great through 2 weeks. So I'm probably not starting him, but I mean, he could be primed for a blow-up game. Who knows? And once you see one of those, then he might be somebody you could flex in going forward.
Yeah, I really like that pick because – and I like what you touched on too, because Puka's volume might go to Cooper Kupp, but since Tutu seems like a burner, I think he could still be very relevant once Cooper Kupp comes back. And especially with a guy like that, if he catches one 50-yard touchdown, I mean – everything else is just kind of icing on the cake, I feel like, for the week. So I really like that pick.
I kind of want to say that, like, I don't think either of their roles go away once Kupp comes back. Like, I feel like Kupp does both of their roles very well. He can be the quick slant guy just to get you a quick 8 yards, but he can also be the deep play threat. So I think you just see some of the opportunities for both those players go to Kupp, but I think both of them are still very solid.
All I'm saying, Stafford makes his receivers better. He does. As a Lions fan, he does. No. He's been a part of some of the greatest wide receiver seasons. Actually, the two greatest wide receiver seasons in Cooper Kupp and Calvin Johnson. Two of the greatest statistical seasons. He's made Puka look like a fifth round, he's a fifth round pick coming out of college. He's made him look like one of the best wide receivers in the league for the first 2 weeks. And he's making Tutu Atwell look like a fantasy viable option. Like this man, the biggest one is probably Kenny Golladay. He had 2,000-yard seasons with Kenny Golladay. So he knows he knows where to throw the ball. He knows how to get it to his guys.
Matt Stafford is hashtag good at football.
True.
So my guy, you already touched on him, is the Tony Pollard of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Jaylen Warren. So like you said, Najee – Josh so eloquently put it, Najee seems like he's the Zeke of last year. Everybody gets more excited when Jaylen Warren gets the ball. He's much more explosive. And in both games this week, both weeks he's played, he's only had 40% of the snaps, had 6 targets in both games. Right, 5 catches, 4 catches. The difference was this past week, he wasn't playing the 49ers. And so those 4 catches turned into 66 yards. And he still got a lot more attempts too on the ground with 6 with 20 yards rushing, which isn't great, but I think they're going to try to utilize him a little bit more, especially with Deontay Johnson being out. Obviously, Najee's kind of on the downhill. They don't have a ton of offensive weapons as they had going into the season, the kind of hype that the Steelers had. And the one thing I like about him, their matchups the next 2 weeks, Raiders and Texans, that seems like a really good way to make a statement as a professional player.
So yeah.
I really like those two matchups.
It was kind of the same thing with Dallas last year when Tony Pollard would come on the field and Zeke would come off. Like, there was some energy bolted into the stadium. Like, fans got excited again. That's what I was listening to when I was watching the game last night. Like, that's kind of what I heard. It was like when Jaylen Warren would come in, people were like, finally, like, this guy is giving us life in our offense when Najee's just kind of – he's getting it – to the line of scrimmage on a good carry.
Yeah.
So, I think that's a good pick. He's projected to outscore Najee this week as well. I think he's projected 13 points and Najee's like a 12 something.
Would not shock me.
Yeah. Would not really shock me, but, so one more,
this one surprised me. I'm excited.
Yeah, and this is – I don't know if this is necessarily a pickup or somebody, like, if you drafted him, you just kind of – I think you can hang on to him for a couple more weeks, but it's Cam Akers. Cam Akers got to be just one of the strangest – has had probably the strangest, like, past 14 weeks in football than anybody else that I can ever think of. And I'm talking like season, like weeks during a season, dating back to last year. So Cam Akers, there was the whole deal when he was on the Rams last year that he became a little bit disgruntled with the organization, was demanding a trade. He ended up sitting out a couple weeks. They couldn't get a trade done with any other team. And then came back for the last 3 or 4 weeks and had like – back-to-back-to-back 100-yard-plus rushing games. Like, looked phenomenal. And there was – everything was good. Everything was gravy with Cam Akers and the Rams. And then
– a lot of hype coming into the season, too. A
lot of hype coming into the season. And then plays last week, has a deep, fine game. It wasn't great. Kind of got bailed out by a late touchdown. And then doesn't play at all this week. And these talks come up again of, you know, the – Rams are looking to trade Cam Akers. They've been shopping him around to some different teams. But so My first question is, do you think Cam Akers is on a new team in the next 2 weeks? Because there are some teams in the NFL that have kind of been plagued by injury at the running back position. So you think he's got a new home in 2 weeks?
I do.
I don't know who, but I think that some team is going to give up a seventh round pick for him just to add depth with how many injuries that have happened.
I would agree with that. That was kind of my stance as well. And so, I mean, if he goes to one of these teams that are lacking running back depth, I mean, I think Baltimore has running back depth, but they don't really have a guy there. They're kind of doing it by committee right now.
What are you talking about?
That's true. I am a big Gus Bus guy. But I think Cam Akers on Baltimore is the most talented running back that they have. I think if he goes to Cleveland, he could see a lot of work. Trying to think of some others. Is he going to go to Detroit, you think, Josh?
No, I hope not. we just brought up Zonovan Knight, so I think we're good.
All right, I stand corrected. But anyways, I think Cam Akers, if you're not like battling other injuries on your lineup where you kind of got to stow people away on your bench, I think if you have Cam Akers right now, hang on to him for like 2 more weeks, see how this plays out. Because I think if he does find a new home and it's a good fit for him and he's going to be used, I think he could be a pretty solid, you know, option going forward the rest of the season. So rather than, you know, send him to the waivers, I think somebody else out there is going to be thinking the same thing and is going to poach him up.
I could see the Vikings taking a flyer on him.
I could see the Packers trading for him too. Because given Aaron Jones' injury, missed last week,
He didn't look great. He's not good.
He didn't look very good. And the Packers were apparently interested in trading for Jonathan Taylor. Mm-hmm. And, again, I don't know why. I'm not the GM up there. But my number one rule in fantasy this year is I listen to what the GMs and the teams tell us. So if they're willing to trade for Jonathan Taylor, and let's say Cam Akers is 70% of Jonathan Taylor, it's probably even less than that. But and you can get that for a seventh round pick compared to a first that they're offering. If they really think they need running back help, I think that'd be a logical conclusion as well. So,
I agree.
Yeah.
But speaking of running back help, my guy to pick up, and I've honestly put in a waiver claim in more leagues than I'm willing to admit, is Kareem Hunt. I don't think he's clearly past his prime, but there's been so many running back injuries. He has to end up somewhere. Logically, I think he ends up back in Cleveland and he splits time with Jerome Ford. But he could even end up in Green Bay, like I mentioned. He could end up in Los Angeles if the Chargers are feeling a little bit desperate. Mm-hmm. Baltimore, Nate, you mentioned them too. I mean, there's just been so many teams that have lost running backs. And you know, I don't think he'd go to the Giants because Saquon would be back soon. But just with all the injuries that are piling up, I don't know how long he's going to stay just out on the street. So I could see him getting signed up pretty quick. And he did visit the Saints, so I'm not ruling that out either. But someone to pick up just in case he goes to like a Cleveland or a Green Bay if Aaron Jones is out and he becomes the primary workhorse. You're going to get him for free because nobody's even thinking about him. So that's my guy.
Can I put out a little bit of a spicy take? I meant to say something when we were talking about Cam Akers, but can I put a little spicy take out there? I think the Rams might try to trade for Jonathan Taylor. I think they might trade Cam Akers to the Colts for Jonathan Taylor. They're
just a swap?
Well, obviously the Rams would, you know, throw in a lot of picks and everything, but I mean the Rams are,
we know they don't like those picks.
Exactly. They don't like the picks, and you know, I don't think Kieran is gonna be just their only guy all year. I mean he could be, but I feel like they're kind of gearing up to make a move right now at the running back position. So I could see it happening. I'm not saying it's going to
Kareem Hunt.
But it could be Kareem Hunt as well. Could be.
I just don't know.
I like that.
I like the take. I don't know if the Rams are like in an all-in position anymore to do it, but they could.
They could.
They look good. So I mean, I don't know.
That's what I was going to say. They look good, and they look like they're, you know, their offense isn't elite. I mean, their passing game is, you know, untouched even without Cooper Kupp. So if they can secure an elite running back, I mean, that offense is going to be unstoppable.
Sure. All right, Josh, take us home.
Yeah. So this one is more of like a kind of a plug and play for the next few weeks if you're dealing with some injuries. It's Josh Reynolds.
Shocker, you picked the line.
Yeah, a little bit of a homer pick. But, you know, he is that deep threat that we need on the team right now until J-Mo gets back. And him and Goff played together for the Rams for a few years, actually. And he has performed very nicely for us over the last couple of games. He's ranked as wide receiver 10 right now. He had 7 targets and then 6 targets over the last 2 weeks. He had 2 touchdowns this last week, 80 yards first week, 66 yards this week. He is a sure-handed receiver that tends to be Goff's favorite. And with Monty down, I feel like we're going to be passing the ball a little bit more since we don't have that bruiser running back. So I feel like he might, you know, see an uptick in targets, maybe up to, you know, that 8 to 10 range over the next, you know, couple of weeks until Monty gets back. So,
yeah, I like that too. Definitely, if you're in deeper leagues too, if he's not picked up.
Oh, yeah.
Plug in the start.
For sure.
All right. Well, should we wrap it up, or do you want to do Lock of the Week and then wrap it up, Nate?
Gosh, I'm itching to do Locks of the Week.
All right.
I think we should get it ahead.
Let's do it. All right. Should we let the guests go first again?
Absolutely.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
All right. Feel so
guest goes first.
I feel so special. My lock of the week is the Seahawks at -6 versus the Panthers. I think the Panthers are butt booty cheeks, and I think that the Seahawks are unstoppable on offense right now. And I don't think that the Panthers have the defense to stop them right now. I feel like there's going to be a lot of points scored by the Seahawks that game, and I don't think the Panthers are going to be able to keep up. So I feel like if that line goes down to -5.5, I would absolutely smash that.
Ooh, I think that's a really good pick. That's honestly, that's probably where I would be leaning if I could make the same lock. The fact that they're at home only laying, I mean, some places it's 5.5 right now, 5.5 to 6 against the Panthers, who, I mean, they looked semi-competitive in that Atlanta game for a little bit, but they just looked like a dumpster fire in the last game against New Orleans. Yeah. They couldn't really do much on offense until the very end of the game. So I really like that pick. I had a tough time with the lines this week. I didn't really see anything that stuck out to me, really. I'm going to take the Pittsburgh Steelers +2.5 on the road at Las Vegas. This is a bit of a risky play right now because the status of Davante Adams is still in question. I think I saw enough, though, from the Steelers' defense in the Monday Night Football game last night where I feel pretty confident in them to get it done against the Raiders. I think that defensive line is so disruptive to any offense that they go against that I think they're going to be in just about any game. Besides the 49ers, of course, they just got blown out in that.
That's the 49ers.
But I think going that is the 49ers. They're a different beast. But yeah, I think Pittsburgh is going to have a chance in a lot of games they play this year. I think that they can keep this one close. I think they can keep it to a field goal. I would love to have this line at +3, so I would be bailed out by a field goal game, at least get it to a push. But 2.5, I think they can do. I also think that the first couple weeks, the defensive lines that they've played have been really, really good. Good linebackers on the other sides also. So they were not able to establish a running game in either of those matchups against 49ers and Cleveland. I think this week against the Raiders, they have a much better chance of getting something going. Raiders last week against the Bills gave up like 190 rushing yards, I think. and then gave up quite a few in the first week to the Broncos. So I think Najee and Jaylen Warren get it going a little bit this week, which also helps open up the passing game to George Pickens and others. So I think the Steelers I don't think you see the struggles as much on the offensive side. That was a very long-winded explanation, but I'm almost trying to defend it in my own mind right now because it did not feel good putting it into this sheet right now. But
I don't mind.
Layton, what do you have, Layton?
You know, I kind of in the same boat. Didn't really love any of these games. A lot of the games that you're really confident in the team winning, the lines are just so massive. I can't remember ever seeing a week where there's so many games that are plus 6.5, 7.5, and higher. It's just nuts. There's at least three games over 10.5 or over 10 right now, which is kind of nuts. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, I took the Rams plus 2 over the Bengals. Joe Burrow might not play. Mm-hmm. If he does play, he won't be 100%. Mm-hmm. The Rams do have to go to Cincinnati, but they're getting a few points. And I saw where the line either yesterday, maybe earlier today, was at Bengals minus 6.5, and it moved to minus 2. So I think Vegas is saying they don't think Joe Burrow's playing either. So that's kind of why I'm leaning that way. And I don't think the Bengals have looked good at all. And the Rams have looked really good. So I think just momentum is all on the Rams side, and you're getting points. I think it's the only one I've talked myself into this week.
I think that's fair. I'm kind of leaning with you. I feel like this line's kind of just like right in the middle where I think this is factoring into Burrow injury and him playing. But if Burrow doesn't play, and like if news gets leaked that he's going to be out for the next week, I think – you see this tick, and the Rams are favored by one or 2 points. So I think there's a potential 3 to 4 point swing mixed, like potentially coming. We don't know. So I think you're kind of getting in at a good time. I like it. But also, we've got it. Sorry, go ahead, Josh.
Oh, I was just going to say, also, the Rams love to cover. I don't know if you guys saw the game where they were down 10 and they drove down the field and kicked the field goal to cover the line of 7.5. So.
Unbelievable.
Little bit fishy.
Can they say Sean McVay doesn't?
I totally didn't have the Rams in that game. But I think we do need to we did not touch on last week's locks. I'll do that real quick just so we can keep it going. Layton's lock was Saints minus 3. We got a push on that. So that's okay. Hey, a push is not a loss.
It's not a loss.
I had the Titans plus 3 at home against the Chargers. That
didn't
covered.
Even
didn't even need the points. Mm-hmm. Could have taken the money line. So I think we're undefeated so far on the locks.
That is true. Will Jash mess it up?
Oh, God. I hope not.
Probably not.
I was like,
probably not.
He's got the best game on the board.
If that one messes up, we're all screwed.
Yeah, that's true.
But this has been awesome. Jash, appreciate you having you on.
Thanks for having me. The boys only took 86 episodes, but we made it.
Finally.
You know, but some of the best things are worth waiting
for. You know, I'm happy you boys had me on. Love the podcast. Love listening to you guys. You guys are my morning commute. So love it.
Represent.
One more thing before we do leave. I just want to say Lions own the Chiefs. I don't know. I don't think I said that. So.
And that'll do
I'm sorry.
It.
I'm sorry. I couldn't see what Jash was saying. I'm just looking at the rings on our fingers. It was blinding anything, you know, very distracting.
That was our Super Bowl. As far as I'm concerned, we have a ring. So, you know, I'm good.
Okay, well, that's good. So when we hang our banner next year, you can say, oh, we beat that team.
Hey, Layton, let me edit this podcast. I got this one.
Okay, I'll let you edit. But hey, leave this in. Yeah. Just leave this in. Yeah. The NFC North plays big boy football, so that's all that matters.
Hey, that's true. That's true.
All right. Well, guys, again, appreciate it. Good luck this week in your matchups. Hopefully you're undefeated like a certain somebody. I don't know. It's probably not going to last long. It's just not talking.
Be me.
So, but good luck. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, guys.